Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Welcome in to what is going to be our last preview of 2020. Adam and Jared coming at you here on Tuesday evening, a night before, perhaps 24 hours before the third and final State of Origin of the 2020 season. And not a lot to talk about off the field, but a fair bit to talk about with regards to the lineup, especially of Queensland. What do you have going on, Jared?
Since my last one, nothing. What about you? How's your life going?
I had a huge weekend. It was actually quite fun. I had a Friday night off. Went down to Brizzy.
We talked about this last podcast.
Did we? I've completely lost track. Oh, that's right.
Saturday night.
I must still be recovering. Anyway, it's been a slow start to the week at work, but we got our year 12s are graduating tomorrow night, so formal. With all COVID regulations, it's been a bit different. But looking forward to that, and then looking forward to saying goodbye to them on Friday as well, because the takes a lot of pressure off everybody, but we will miss them. But Masters was awesome. Cameron Smith, the Queenslander, was an absolute legend. He played so well, and there's not an Aussie golfer on the tour that looks more Aussie than Cameron Smith. And with a name like Cameron Smith, we're actually talking about the golfer here. He's got the seediest mo, this cheeky smile, and even half a mullet. And his caddy's just got a beard going everywhere, top button undone. It's just the opposite of what Augusta looks like when it's done up for the Masters. But he gave it a red hot crack.
He looks like a bit of a little pest, doesn't he?
Yeah. He said pretty much in all of COVID lockdown, all he did with to keep his reaction skills and fine motor skills up was fishing every day. And then because I always talk about ice hockey, it's my other love of sport. Something the NRL could definitely look into, and I was thinking about on the weekend going, there's enough money in the game for this to happen for maybe 1 week of the year. And the NHL, out of the four sports in America, the four big sports, is absolutely horrible at marketing itself, hence why less people know about it. It's very old school, very non-fun. And this year during COVID, someone had the bright idea of going, you know what? We had some really cool retro jerseys. Teams have to put out a retro version of their retro jersey. So they had to take one of their old school jerseys and tweak it somehow or modify it somehow to make it look awesome. My team's one of the original franchises and we're very proud, so I knew we weren't going to do anything exciting and we didn't. But holy shit, some of the jerseys look awesome. Then I was thinking, NRL's got retro round, which we may as well not, because only like three or four teams actually wear retro jerseys and the rest pretend it doesn't happen. I think there's enough money in the game for us to have one round where teams just wear or design a brand new reverse or a retro version of a retro jersey and wear it without sponsors for 1 week. And
you really hate sponsors on jerseys, don't you?
Who doesn't? But I get why we need them. Because there's, like, our jerseys should be something that you're proud of and you want to collect and you want to wear around because they look nice, as well as them representing your team. It's the same as the commentators going, coming up next, we have the Pepsi Sea Eagles versus the fucking BP Knights. And you're like, I get why they have to say it, but it's still annoying. Anyway, 1 week's worth, the NRL spends a whole off season sending out little breadcrumbs and hints and ideas. Examples, all Detroit sent out was 98. So we knew it was going to be some version of the 1998 Stanley Cup champion jerseys. So Newcastle, their hint might just be 2001. Okay.
Those jerseys were shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying example, but they'd come out and do like a retro reverse or a change up of that. So maybe like red shorts rather than the blue shorts and just reverse, inverse the colors, or it could be horizontal rather than vertical stripes, something like whack and weird, because you're only going to have it for one round. And the point of it is having something so memorable, sometimes so ugly that it's memorable, that you're like, that is disgusting. It looks like trash, 90s, Prince of Bel-Air, and I love it.
So like the Broncos aqua jersey.
Yeah, something hideous like that. Like what's a horrible logo that a team brought out for a time? I'm trying to think of like one of the animal ones, and they did like such a poor job on it.
The Sharks. They had a really skinny shark on
them. Oh yeah, yeah. Something like that. And they do us a favor right now. Look up the... Actually, I'll send it to you on a message. You talk about something else while I go off on this team.
All right, just going back to Cameron Smith. His caddy actually looks like the guy out of Happy Gilmore, which is absolutely fantastic. all right, so rugby league, there's been a lot of stuff happening the last couple of days while we've been off there. Oh, decent enough.
Yeah,
I know. So, for a... not so fun topic. Brent Naden has actually admitted himself to a rehab clinic for various reasons to get himself right. He admitted to the team and to the coach a couple of weeks before the grand final that he was struggling. I imagine that's part of the reason he may have been put on the bench. I don't know how this has all gone down, but good luck to him, and I hope everything works out for the guy. As far as news, why Adam sends me this picture, Cronulla have signed another old person.
So Adam Tolman his contract wasn't renewed for the Bulldogs. So he's been given a one-year deal down at the Sharks, which is...
That's actually pretty cool.
I know, right? The Anaheim Mighty Ducks retro jersey. The Mighty Ducks logo that we know from the movies is up on the shoulder, but they actually had one in the 90s where they had bright orange jerseys and it was a duck bursting out through the ice, and they've taken that one and changed the colors up and made them the teal and eggplant. They're freaking awesome. And it's just like giving the league a chance to do something whack and weird would just be so cool.
They wouldn't do it.
I know, but... Oh man, I'd love to see one of the old school, like wormhole, the orange and the maroon and white striped ones. Man, they'd be really sick. Or one of the long sleeve maroon ones with a huge white eagle. So ugly, but so cool. Aiden Tolman. Safe signing by the Sharks. Nothing exciting about it. Someone to plug a hole through the middle of the field when Fifita's injured or Uwele's going through consistency issues or whatever it is. He wasn't going to cost much, I'd assume. We don't know. They don't release salaries.
I'm not 100% set on this. I don't think they needed him.
Why not?
They have... Okay, so they have Fifita.
Yeah,
they have Braden Hamlin Uwele. They have Aaron Woods. They have Billy Magoulis.
Yeah.
Scott Sorensen. Jack... Is it Scott Sorensen? Or Jack Sorensen? One of the two. They have got so many young guys who could play lock/front row.
Yeah.
And they're buying him. Like, and there's rumors going around that Scott Sorensen looks like he's going to England. He is an NRL standard player. He could play in a lot of teams and they can use someone like that.
Who says Sorensen's going to play a game?
I don't get why they're signing older players. And it's not like Aiden Tolman's a big, dominant front rower.
Nope.
He's the smallest front rower. Like, all these young guys are bigger than Tolman. And they've got just as big motors as him. So, just... And they've got... And it's not like they can argue about old heads coming in to make the game more... make the team more professional. They've got the oldest team in the competition, Nelly. It's ridiculous. They have up to close to the experience team. Fifita, Woods, Dugan, Moylan, Johnson, Townsend, Graham.
No offense to maybe some of those other players, considering how many injuries some of them have had, how professionally do you think they take their off field?
I don't know. But
conditioning, chores, looking after the body.
That is a concern I've had for Cronulla. But Aiden told me if these guys who have been played, other than Moylan, I'd say most of them would have played over 200 games, and Dugan maybe, because he's injured for the majority of his career. If they're not professional at this point in their time, and they have to bring Tolman in to show them how to be professional, considering Tolman's never played Origin, never played for Australia, that legitimately means that Cronulla need to clean out of these older players, because that's not on.
True. And for a club that's so hard against the salary cap, supposedly. There's also a chance he doesn't play one NRL game next year and he just plays New South Wales Cup. And his pay would still be the same. So he wasn't going to be getting paid anywhere else. So he's going to take whatever gets thrown his way.
Yeah.
So there's no real risk to it for the Sharks, except for maybe the salary and the fact he might prevent some young players getting cracks. But that'll come down to the coach as well, whether he wants to...
You know what? Despite all this, I still respect Aiden Tom. He's a hell of a player. I just don't...
It's a good deal for him.
Yeah, yeah. Cronulla just... They annoy me with their signings.
So, okay. From a club that brings someone in that kind of doesn't need it to a club that lets someone go, that we're kind of surprised to see let go.
Who's that?
McIntyre to the Titans.
Yes. Yeah, so... And that's another thing. Titans, you'd think their next sign would be an outside back with all the forwards they've signed. He's just going to be perfect cover for all those players, considering they lost Hitgrave and James. Hitgrave signed with Parramatta. Him and Nathan Brown are going to be pretty lethal.
When did that happen?
Like a week ago.
What a downgrade. So, no, that's actually going to be a scary ass forward back.
Manu Mao is still not there. Imagine if he was there. So they signed Sam McIntyre. He's one huge of those players. And he could be as good as I put him in the same frame as Corey Horsburgh.
Yeah,
one because they look the same, redheads. Not exactly you'd think as a rugby league player's build, but still tough as they come.
190 centimeters. He's just going to be
a guy. Yeah, he's just going to be there. He's going to be a guy come on the field where you get through, you know, for Fifita, Fodder, Waker, whoever else they've signed. And then this guy comes on, you're like, fuck.
He's got ball skills. He can run an edge. He can run through the middle. He can be a link man out to the backs. It's a great pickup. If he'd come to my club, I'd be stoked. He's got the chance to be more than just a plug player. If you need someone, he's actually got, I think, the talent with regards to heaps of these young forwards are around the comp right now. But there's going to be three or four who poke their noses in front because they can play a short ball. They can stand up their opponent instead of just trying to run over him. I think he's in that group. He hasn't reached that yet. There's been tiny snippets. He's only played 12 games. But there's been enough seen there in those games to be more than just but I'm thinking of someone like your Aiden Tolman, but as a second rower, someone who just comes on and does their job. This guy's got a bit more of that, the footwork, the ball playing skill that can crack a game open every now and then. So good pick up by the Titans. They've got a damn good young quarterback happening. All mobile skill.
So
players.
Luke Keary has left Origin camp. There's no other follow-up from that. There's no reason given. Don't know what's going on there, but he's left Origin camp and won't be available tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's sour grapes or there's a personal matter.
I'd say it's either way.
So, we'll follow up on that. Okay, St. Helens have signed Ignatius Passy.
Yep.
Unfortunately, he's left the NRL. He's a solid player. I don't have no issues with Passy. He's been a journeyman from Gold Coast and Warriors.
Ignatius Parsi, really weird career considering he made his debut for the Warriors, played one game, and then moved to the Titans, and then came back, if that's what I'm reading correctly. That's a really weird career path. But anyway, he was really good for the Titans, not last year, year before. It was great to watch him and Zeb Taylor when they were playing together there. Were a really good combo. But St. Helens pick up another one from Australia. He'll definitely strengthen their forward pack. Interesting to see whether there's going to be a rotation forward or whether he's going to be a starter. Any other...
Josh Hanna has gone down to be assistant coach at the Sharks.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that's going to happen. I don't really know him as a coach too well, so it'd be very interesting. He did kind of a little bit turn around Cowboys in patches when he took over. But
And he did spend some of his playing career there.
Alex Seifarth have re-signed with the Tigers. So that's some good news. He's not a bad player either.
Yeah.
So this is all rumors and all, but we did check it out, confirm it. It is true, but Seagulls have actually removed Albert Hopewade from their official internet page. So take that what as you will. I don't know what's going on, but the fact that they haven't actually announced him leaving or anything, they just did that's a bit of a, how do you explain that? Bit of a...
Echo.
Passive aggressive move to put it lightly.
He just had a haircut and they need to update his photo.
Dane Laurie signs with the Tigers from Penrith. And the big, not the biggest news, but I'll actually touch on that one. That's Origin related news. So the big news is Josh Aloi has come out tonight. So the story there is he wants to leave the Tigers and sign with Manly. According to some reports, his manager has requested a release, but he has also sent a text message to the CEO of the Tigers, Justin Pascoe, saying, "I will never wear the jersey again." So, obviously, the Tigers have had a very... let's just say rough time for the last 6 or 7 years as far as people leaving and all that kind of stuff. So the chairman, not the CEO, has come out and said, and this is, what's his name? Lee Hadjipantelis. Hadjipantelis. Come out and said, as far as we're concerned, he can mow the lawns at Leichhardt and Campbelltown and shake paint the sheds at Concord. He's a contracted employee at the West Tigers of 2021 and under the terms of employment, he'll be remaining at the club. So, on the back of that, it's looking like that the Tigers are going to re-sign Michael Maguire. With that statement, Adam, do you agree with it? Do you not? What's your thoughts on that?
Many thoughts. First of all, confusion, because to me, this has got nothing to do with Michael Maguire, considering Josh Aloi has been one of the most vocal supporters of Michael Maguire, especially in public.
And he's been playing really well too.
Yeah, and he's happy with Michael Maguire as a coach. So I think there's... He was offered an extension, whether he was upset at either the length of it or the finances behind it. Manly have offered him a 2-year deal, believed to be significantly more lucrative. However, when questioned about it, the Manly CEO, Stephen Humphries, has said, he's denied any contingency exists, but has also said, "We have high regard for Josh. He's a fine player and a leader, but he is contracted for 2021. We're interested in attracting him to our club, but all of our discussions have been for 2022 and beyond. 2021 has not been mentioned in our conversations." So take that as it is. But you can think of it as you will. So this is a situation which is a shitstorm from all points of view. The NRL brings this upon themselves every year, and they still refuse to put a trade deadline in. They refuse to put a free market time period in. If you're going to allow clubs to talk to other players after November 1st to sign deals over a season away, this crap is going to happen every year. Josh Alloi is way out of line, spitting chips, spitting the dummy. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to wear a jersey because another club offers him much more, offers him more money. Suck it up, Princess. You signed a contract. You see out the contract. There should be no wiggle room for these players to be able to walk out on their club's contract just because another club's offering them money. I get they want to earn more. That's fine. Play better for the contract that you're on. If you're getting paid $300,000, play like a $500,000 player, and at the end of that contract, you'll get paid. If you've signed a three-year deal, you see it out. And the West Tigers CEO, or chairman, sorry, is smack on. If you're employed by my club for another season, you're helping us get to the salary cap floor, whatever. There might be direct sponsorships tied to that player. I don't know. But, yeah, it's going to cost some money paying him if he's going to mow lawns, but it also means he's not going to be playing against them for next year because they understand what talent he is. So they're well within their rights to sit him on the bench all season if he doesn't want to play. Fine. Whichever club gets him after a season is going to have a year's loss of development for the Tigers. That's fine. It's a shit situation. Josh Alloi and his manager are behaving like children. Manly are doing what's well within their rights. It's past November 1st, but they shouldn't be able to have this opportunity to talk in the first place. It should be, if your contract is 3 years, once that November 1 hits or whatever, once the grand finals finish, there's a two-month free agency period. Keep NRL relevant in the off-season because people are checking their phones every day to see if their players have left, see what players they've brought in, rada, rada, rada. Once that's done, until that time next year. If a club's found to be talking to players outside of that, fine them, dock them competition points, put a significant penalty in place. You've got 2 months to sort your shit. If you miss it, you miss it. That's it. The only people in the right here are the West Tigers.
Yeah. with that, we're reading a Fox Sports article, so we don't actually know what's going on with Josh Alloi. There's no given reason why he wanted to leave.
Nope.
So at this point, we're essentially just speculating. But from our perspective, we see it too often.
Yeah.
And
Clemmer, the problem, Newcastle, Blake Green.
The problem isn't the players, though.
Nope.
That's not the problem. It's the clubs.
Why?
Because they're allowing it to happen. So, last 10 years, it's probably been worse than it ever has been.
What do you mean the clubs are allowing it to happen?
Okay. So, there is a legitimate fear about keeping your playing group happy amongst players. That's a thing they have. You want to keep your playing group happy. Yeah. So clubs are perfectly fine in allowing players to go, I got the shits here, and then they help them out the door because they want to keep everything happy. They don't want that toxic environment thing. So they've built a precedent where if a player has a bit of a sook, as you said, that's how they're going to get out of their contracts. And there's millions of examples over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So if the first player who sooked 10 years ago when all this kind of stuff started, I'm not saying that's exactly 10 years ago, but you know what I mean? It's been a lot in the last couple of years.
Mm.
The first time a player went, I want out, why didn't the CEO have this opinion the first time? Or that, you know what I mean?
I think in this case, it's a player that the club wants to hold on to because they see his talent. They don't want him playing against.
No, but that's all that. If you sign a player for 3 years, you want him for 3 years. But that player turns around after a year, a year and a half, which has happened millions of times, and goes, I don't want to be here anymore. AKA, what?
Ryan Madison.
Jesse Ramian. There's two examples in the last 2 years. So those clubs have allowed it. Allowed to do what they want. Allowed to go, mate, see ya. I'm gonna agree with your request. See you later. And that's how the players and the players' managers have reacted. And now it's happening 3, 4, five times a year. So if the club's CEOs got together and put their foot down and go, if a player's not happy at a club, no one else sign him. We're going to keep him on.
Yeah, sit him on the bench for you.
No, but that's my point. It's the club's fault that the players think they can react this way.
No, I think it's the NRL's fault because the players know the clubs are powerless.
Yeah, if the clubs put their foot down, like this guy is, if this was happened 10 years ago, this wouldn't be happening now.
Yeah, this shouldn't be a club's issue. This should be the NRL saying from the top, once contracts are in place, that's it. Player can't leave it. Club can't cut it unless
the clubs can still enforce their own contracts.
Yeah, if it brings them into disrepute, they can't just cut a player for no reason. And
also, the NRL can't stop a trade.
No, but trades are different. This isn't a trade.
No, but they can't stop a player transfer. That gives the club the NRL too much power.
This is completely different to that.
No, it's not.
There's no because trade
because the club should have autonomous review of their own contracts or who they let go and when they let go. They should have their own thing. Salary cap's a different story on this because, you know, they've got to approve how much they're paying them. But the clubs should be independent on who they want to bring into the thing or who they want to let go.
Yeah.
So if they want to let go someone, no matter what time of the year, the NRL shouldn't be stopping it.
They're not.
But you just said the NRL should put a stamp down on any players leaving.
No, if players want to up and go, that should not be... they shouldn't be able to just throw up a stink like this and be able to leave. Just because they're getting paid more money elsewhere.
That's the club's problem, not the NRL. Because the NRL should not be dictating how the clubs are handling their contracts unless they're doing something illegally. And releasing someone from their contract is nothing illegal. It's the club's prerogative when to release them and how much they're getting out of their release deal. If the clubs put their foot down 10 years ago, like I said, and said, just because you're having a bad time doesn't mean you're going to be leaving. You're going to stick to this contract we gave you. That's it. The NRL shouldn't be saying that.
Clubs will never get an agreement for that. Why would they? It'd advantage each other.
Why not?
Is it the West Tigers can't just ring up other clubs and say, we're going to cut this guy. Please don't sign him. Because it'll look bad.
It'll look bad, but in 2 years' time, there'll be a Manly player looking to go, no, hold up. It'll all come around.
No, it won't.
It'll come around.
No.
It will, because there'll be a Manly player who wants to leave Manly for the Tigers, and Tigers will back Manly up. 100%.
If they West Tigers are going into a prelim final, they get injured, and there's this Jake Trbojevic is sitting there because he got fired by Manly because he pissed on a wall or whatever, and he's unsigned. You don't think West Tigers will go, look, we'll give you 30 grand to play these last two games for us?
One, you can't even do that anyway. But
of course you can if he's unsigned.
Point is that...
They're not going to look after each other. They hate each other.
No, but that's my point. They should work together to honour contracts.
Winning comes before that.
I understand that. But if you want to, and this is what happened to the Tigers, their CEO come out in the same article and said they got treated like a doormat.
Of course they do. Because they've had three or four different owners and board members over the last few years.
You're going to turn around and there's going to be another club in 5 years in the exact same situation getting treated like a doormat. or players trying to leave for bullshit reasons, why don't all the CEOs get together and make some sort of agreement where they can work together and go, if you want to leave, you have to go to English Super League. Go play for Toronto Wolfpack.
No, that's when CEOs and that come together, it's not to hammer out alliances in trade periods and shit. When I'm saying the NRL needs to...
Adam has been to these meetings.
It doesn't make any sense from any club's point of view. If deals like that are going to happen, it's going to be behind closed doors, one-on-one. It's not going to happen in a big open setting. It's for business. Business comes first, and then players come second.
And with that attitude, that's how player agents win.
Yes, exactly. And they run our sport. NRL... So
this is one how they stop it.
Yeah, one way to cut down. Well, not cut down, but anyway. NRL said players can only trade or sign from this period to this period. You've got 2 months, that's it, get it done. Outside of that time, if a player kicks up a stink like this, club's decision. Keep them on your books. Don't play them. There's one. If a player cuts up a stink, if the club says, all right, they're cut, they don't have to pay out the rest of that contract whatsoever. If they sign for another club, that club takes on whatever new contract is negotiated, not the one that that guy was previously on. So say he's on 180 grand for next year. If Tigers cut him right now, they don't owe him 180 grand because he's bitch and wanted out. Manly don't have to pay him till they sign him in 2022. And they could have changed their figure by then. They'd be like, oh, I know we said 400 grand then, but it's actually 250. And they've got the power to do that because nothing's been signed.
Yeah.
I have no issue way, but if I'm the West Tigers, I'm going, Josh Aloa is a good player. I don't want him playing against us next year. We'll pay you your money, but you're going to mow lawns. That's fair.
I really hope they get a picture of him doing it.
Now suck it up, Dick.
Okay, so we'll go to Origin now. Is that all?
Oh, imagine if we were allowed to do that.
Okay, so the big news that's come out of Origin before
Cameron Smith autobiography has been released.
Oh no,
this is good because this is the most information he's given with regards to his playing thing next year. James Hooper, shut the hell up. No, he's not going to get forced into doing anything. And you're completely off. Yeah, you're just looking for views. A couple of interesting points Cam Smith brought up. He hasn't fielded any offers for next year based on the fact that he's told management not to field any and he's told his management not to talk to him about any. So whether clubs have actually put forward a contract or not, he's not aware of it. According to him, he has said to the Storm that he won't play on at the Storm if it's going to affect their ability to re-sign and keep Smith and Grant. But he's also saying that doesn't mean he's not going to play elsewhere, although he hasn't thought about any other club. He's seen since the time playing there, he's only seen himself as a one club player, but only because he's never had to be in a situation to actually think about it. And he's been writing his autobiography for a year with Andrew Webster, one of the NRL journalists. And they were talking about right at the start of this year whether he'd play on. And he said it's not just having the ability to play on. So he said the media are saying that, coaches are saying that, players are saying that I'm still playing well and I can still keep doing it. It's the external commitments, the time, the travel, time away from family, all that sort of stuff. And he still said it's going to be a couple of weeks till him and his wife and kids sit down and think about their future and what's best going to be suited going forward. If that release is in Grant's contract, who's to say what's going to happen? But he hasn't ruled out playing for another club, although I honestly can't see him doing that. I think his situation's a bit different to Cooper Cronk, where Cronk made it earlier based on family. I'll say Smith's probably not hurting for money. Yeah. He's also said if he's still going to stay involved in the game if he does hang him up I don't know.
Do you know what my thoughts on this process are? I am so sick of it.
Why? Sick of the media bringing it up?
Yes. He has earned the right to decide when.
Yep.
Where.
Yep.
And how he goes about this.
Yep.
And it just keeps getting asked and asked and asked. Harry Grant and Brendan Smith have both come out and made their feelings ridiculously clear.
Yeah.
But they've about really... how they feel about it. Leave him alone. Like, we had the same thing last year too, because he only signed a 1-year deal for this year. And it was the same thing. And now I will admit it's been intensified. And then every year you talk about how Cameron Smith's coming back to Origin and how Cameron Smith's done this and how Cameron Smith has done this. And
just, it's pretty clear he was never going to come back to Origin. I thought he made that pretty clear.
Everyone keeps leaving the door open for him. Like, same with Greg Inglis. They left the door. They asked the Queensland Origin coach, would you let him back? Of course we'd let him. Fuck off.
Just say no.
So,
which one adds more value to the Storm? Signing Smith for another year and then him moving straight into a coaching role after next season, or releasing him and allowing Grant and Smith to stay? What helps Melbourne more in the long run?
Oh, and if you're looking long term, because he's 38, it's those two.
So you'd say their playing careers for the Storm would be more valuable than him staying on as a coach.
The thing about it is, and this is what they're going Smith and Grant.
Yeah.
It's not Smith and Grant, it's Smith or Grant. Because they both want starting 9 spots.
Yeah. See you later, Smith.
That's the reality of it. So they're going to lose one anyway. This is how it is, unfortunately, because they're both starting hookers. One's a Queensland and one's about to debut for one's a
Kiwi.
New Zealand hooker and one's about to debut. So, look, you're going to lose one of them. I personally believe Grant's the better hooker. Smith's the better utility, but Grant's the better hooker. See, the people questioning it, it's not like they came 10th.
Yeah, I know.
In the ladder. He captained them to another grand final this year. And he wasn't exactly in a back seat for any of that. He was front and center, except for like 5 minutes of the prelim final against Canberra.
So that's how I look at it. If he plays on for one more season. If he plays for one more season, that's a shot at another premiership. And
100%.
The NRL is all about premierships. You're not playing to come 8th. If you can sign him for one more year and win another premiership before he retires, that's worth letting Grant and Smith go.
But I don't think they will let him. I honestly reckon that if he re-signs, Smith will stay, play how he's been playing, which has been, look, he's up there in the top 2 utilities of the competition. He's been playing front row all year.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good he's been playing. And then when Smith got injured, they didn't lose a thing with Brandon Smith playing. So I don't think he'll have a problem playing utility, playing second fiddle. I think they'll loan Grant out again, to be honest.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. So there's no
Manly negatives will take him.
There's no negative on both sides of the decision. There's no negative for Storm. They're just sitting back on whatever happens, happens. We will have a good result out of it. Because if you look at it, Grant going to Tigers is the best thing for him and it's the best thing for Melbourne.
Yeah.
If Grant goes to Manly, that means in 3 years, he's been coached by Craig Bellamy, Michael Maguire and Des Hasler. That's like, if you throw Trent Robinson in there, that's like the best coaching thing you can have. So, what's the issue for Melbourne right now? I don't see an issue.
Everyone else has the issue, but Melbourne. If it came down to, I don't think Melbourne would let it go this way. It's not, they're not managed like other clubs actually put thought into it. If it came down to, if Cameron Smith signs for one more year, if the managers of Harry Grant and Brendan Smith say, all right, we're leaving, this is 1 year too long. If I'm Melbourne, I'm like, that sucks to see you go, but good luck to you. Because if they can win one more premiership, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And you might not win another premiership for 10 years, but you've won what?
Look,
four in the last eight? Like, when Manly won 2011, and then we didn't re-sign Stewart's, Watmo left, all that sort of stuff. I would have preferred us break the bank, pay top dollar to keep our best players, fill the rest of the team with crap, and have another shot at a premiership.
Yeah.
So, then let him go and start dying slowly over time.
And do you know what? Melbourne are also planning ahead as far as their coaching goes as well. Yep. So Craig Bellamy's let everyone know that next year he's 70-odd or 60-odd. Next year's his last year as Melbourne's
coach. It's not Bennett, Jesus.
So end of next year, I reckon next year they're going to have a lot of, it's going to be what Wayne Bennett's done with South Sydney this year. So South Sydney has been mainly coached by Jason Demetrio. He's going to be taking over Bennett at South Sydney, I think, end of next year, something like that. So the heir apparent at Melbourne, and there is rumours going around that Craig Bellamy's son is going to coach him. Mm. He'll be doing most of the coaching next year. He'll be taking over a lot of it.
It was going to be Jason Riles, but he's off the union.
Yeah, so there's going to be... And you know what? There's going to be coaches galore lining up for that spot. They're going to pick of the coaches whoever the hell they want in next year. Melbourne are sitting pretty with how Craig Bellamy and Cam Smith have set this club up
for
the last 15 years. I think it's this needs to be let go, and he'll tell everyone when he wants to.
Brilliant. Origin.
Okay, so Origin. Before we get on the game three tomorrow night, there's some fun stuff that's come out of game two and one. So big story out of game one was Boyd Cordner coming back on the field after his HIA. He came off the field, was stumbling everywhere has been doing a lot, unfortunately. And then he came back onto the field and New South Wales got sent an official warning saying, what the fuck, essentially. He's obviously concussed. He failed. This, that, and the other. So in the second game, and I'm not saying he had a concussion, but Jake Friend got run over by Nathan Brown. I think that was a forearm or he hit the ground heavily. I can't remember. Yeah. Got up stumbling. Next two tackles later, he got hit in the head again. Got up stumbling again. New South Wales has sent a please explain to the NRL why is it double standards? Why wasn't Jake Friend taken off? Because a visible sign of concussion is stumbling, essentially. Yep. Which, if you watch the game, he definitely did. So there'll be more coming out in the next couple of days. I believe it's a bit of a, New South Wales are definitely in the wrong for the thing. And you can't confirm with Queensland were wrong at all. So, but in saying that too, I've seen a lot of NRL clubs, including Newcastle, dodge the HIAs. So if Wayne Bennett was sitting there, if we lose Jake Friend and Cam Munster into this game, we are in a lot more trouble than we already were. Maybe he held him on the field. Or maybe he was legitimate and was not concussed. I don't know. But New South Wales have questioned what happened. So, see what happens there. Moving on. So, this game tomorrow night, decider at Suncorp. Everyone's throwing stats around that New South Wales got a, they've only won two deciders at Suncorp. Oh my God, they've got to recreate history where Queensland still have to recreate history because they haven't done the same thing as well, but this many debutants or some shit. So, depends who you ask, both teams are in the underdog.
There's only one team that's the underdog here.
But, yeah, the new the New South Wales media is saying New South Wales are underdogs because clearly we can't win at
Suncorp Stadium. James Hooper and Buzz Rothfield are from New South Wales, right?
I hope not.
Enough said. All those stats are pretty much based on the last 12 years where you had the Queensland side scattered immortals through there.
But Queensland have actually made a host of changes, some for injury, some for availability. To be honest, I don't mind it. Some of these changes are pretty solid. I think the big one for injury is losing Xavier Coates.
Is it?
So Edric Lee has come in because he had a groin injury, I believe. Yes, he had a groin injury.
Same, but different.
Well, same as far as height and athleticism. You lose about 5 meters of pace.
Well, you're not versing the fastest winger in the world on the other side, so it shouldn't.
Exactly. Matter. So, but it is what it is. You're losing space, losing pace. How have you seen Edric Lee this year?
Like, I've got a better. He plays for Newcastle.
Okay, so he's been very well. How do I explain it?
To me, he's rocks and diamonds.
He's been solid. Yeah, he is. He's a Manu Vatavai.
Yeah.
I think this year was one of his better years. His returns, kick returns, were massive for Newcastle. Him and Ponga were really dominant, making it back for Newcastle this year. Obviously, he's an aerial threat. Coming up against Tupou, I'm not sure how that's going to go. His defensive reads are a bit more of an issue, though. He struggles a bit. But in saying that, too, I'm not sure that's because Bradman Best isn't strong defensively and he's trying to cover that because they're together. I don't know. That could be an argument made, but...
Him and Tupou in defense look like giraffe on ice.
Yeah. I'm sure New South Wales will know he loves a good intercept. So any long ball that gets sent out to Tupou, he's going to be well on top of that. So that's going to be on a tip sheet to probably kick behind him again, which I really don't think a Queensland supporter can deal with another kicking game from Cleary, to be honest.
I can't even think of a cutout ball that's gone to Tupou from the Roosters all year. It's not how they get the ball to him. It's through quick, sharp passing. Yeah, but
this is all new.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Corey Allen was interviewed through the week at his press conference. He's like, you've been named on the wing. Where are you going to play? He's like, oh, I've been named on the wing. I'm going to play on the wing. And you could tell that straight away. He's like, yeah, you're lying, dude. You're not used to this.
So, yeah, Corey Allen and Valentine Holmes have stopped. I don't actually like these decisions. Okay, so back when Queensland were very dominant, New South Wales changed their team to be defensive of Queensland. So the best example is that they try to put Bo Scott in the centres to nullify Greg Inglis. This game, they're moving Valentine Holmes to the wing to nullify Josh Adakar.
No.
That's not true. We know you don't agree with that.
I don't think that's why they did it.
I think it is.
Corey Allen can nullify Adakar enough by himself.
Not with his experience on the wing in Origin. I don't think he could. And I'm guessing when they're attacking the line, they might actually swap Corey Allen and Valentine Holmes around.
No, no reason. Corey Allen's been a fullback his entire life. He's played on the wing like one season, and that's for the Rabbitohs. Putting him at fullback is going to be fine. He's a better ball player than Valentine Holmes. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's not as fast. And Holmes' best Origin performances have been on the wing because he's a damn good finisher.
It might be the case. I just think that
anyone can defend Adokar as long as you don't give him a meter and a half on the sideline. He's not going to run over you. He's not going to run over anybody. He's not going to run through anybody. He's going to run around you. That's how he does all of
his speed. I just think that they're going to bring an experienced winger in to outmaneuver Adokar.
No.
That's what I think is going to happen.
How many times has Adokar got the ball on the outside at the end of a backline move? outside the 10 meters in this series?
A few times? Actually, no, I'm thinking of last series. He did a few times last series.
Both the tries he scored, apart from the grubbery chase down, have been the last pass within 10 meters, and he's used his speed to burn him on the outside. That all starts from the inside, covering in too much. They haven't been burnt on the outside with his speed because they've covered it in the middle of the field. He's been using his speed in the kicks behind and then finished off backline moves. Neither of what you're going to negate with whoever your winger is. Corey Allen's going to be...
Oh, positioning. That's how you beat that positioning.
Yeah, no. But I mean, at the end of the... on the end of the line, that all starts from your second row, half, them shoveling in.
And I actually think that Bennett might have been a bit disappointed at Holmes at fullback in that second game. One, his positioning wasn't there. And two, a few times when they did put that kick in, he was only jogging.
Yeah.
And that also might be a reason as well, because he should have been sprinting for those balls because he was close to that car.
And he also coaches Corey Allen all season, so he knows what he can do.
He's coached him for the last 5 years.
Yeah, there you go.
So, look, there might be... I just hope it's not a defensive decision. That's what I hope for, because I don't think that works in Origin, as proven through Bo Scott. Okay, the teams. Well, New South Wales hasn't changed. Queensland has changed a fair amount.
Corey Allen at fullback. Valentine Holmes and Edric Lee on the wings with Dane Gagai and Branko Lee in the centres. Inspiring. Cameron Munster and Cherry Evans in the halves. Christian Welch back at starting prop with Josh Papali. Jake Friend at starting hooker. Kurt Catewell shifted to the second row with Felice Kafusi and Tuno Famasuale starting lock. Jaden Sewer is on the bench with Harry Grant, Lindsay Collins and Jai Arrow with Dynamis Louis and Ben Hunt in the reserve. So Fodder Waker has been dropped completely. I don't agree... Sorry?
So is Dynamis Louis.
No, he's in reserves.
Oh, yeah. 7 okay, and 8.
I mean, Fodder Waker's dropped out completely.
Louis will get dropped out tomorrow night. Sorry.
So will Hunt, yeah. So I don't agree with the benching of Sewer. I thought he was the only one of Queensland's forwards who looked likely, outside of probably Tino. With regards to making meters, he's got the speed on both the New South Wales back row, and showed that a couple of times to get on outside of him. I think Kurt Capewell would be better suited coming off the bench, especially how poor he's looked in defense. His meters have been impactful, but he can come on anywhere off the bench.
Yeah, and on that as well, he's only started this year when Kikau's injured.
Yeah.
So he's not a starter.
Not this year.
No, I rate him. I reckon he's a great player, but you're 100% right. Sewer's a starter. He's someone who can... He can handle that onslaught for the first half hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really surprised that Sewer's on the bench. And I'm really surprised by that.
If Crichton or Frizzell got on top of Catewell and Kafusi early, it's going to go a long way to deciding this one. I think Sewer would be a harder man to run over, let alone run around. I like the rest of the changes with regards to who's available for Queensland. I like the fact that Grant is in the team. I would start him over Friend and work out some other way of doing it. I could see them being switched after 20 minutes and Bennett not going back to Friend if Grant has an impact. We've seen him do that sort of stuff and get through whole games without utilising other players. I hope Joey Arrow gets more minutes. Like, my ideal forward pack would have been Welch, Grant, Papali, Sewer, Kafusi, Arrow, and bringing Cable, Tino, Collins off the bench, and whether you drop Friend completely or not, meh. New South Wales 1-17. It's been pretty rare that Origin teams for New South Wales have been the same back to back. There was talk about Pappenhausen coming into the interchange. It looks as though it was going to be Brown making way by the look of it, but Fittler stuck with his 17.
Yeah. So he was, Fiddler's never one to make changes when they win. He's pretty loyal like that. So the team he's got is Tedesco out the back with Tupou and Adekar on the wings, Clint Gutherson, Jack Wyden in the centers with Walker and Cleary in the halves. Up front, you got Haas, Cook and Saifidi, Frizzell, Crichton and Trbojevic in the back row with Finucane, Paulo, Brown and Isaiah Yeo ran in that 17 with Pappenhuyzen and McInnes. In the thing, I would actually... Yeah, so that's going to be 1-17 tomorrow night, barring injuries.
Yep.
I would love to see either Pappenhuyzen and McInnes get a go, but I'm sure their time will come eventually.
I think that if they were 2-0 up, probably.
Yeah. So with... yeah, Adam's right. So if New South Wales play like they did, play like they did in the second game with Saifidi and Haas, they just made metres up out the middle. And then they just gave it to the edges. And the edges just, that was so dynamic and Queensland couldn't handle it. It'd be interesting how Capewell goes. It's actually a cool story with Branko Lee and Edric Lee together. They actually grew up in Canberra together, played junior footy together. Ironically, Branko Lee used to be a front rower though. So they do know each other. It's not an unknown combination of them playing together. So that's a good sign for Queensland. How they handle Tupou and it'll be Gutherson, won't it? Will be very, very interesting because I haven't exactly rated Gutherson, but Tupou's been Wyden, playing.
Wyden and Tupou.
Okay. Wyden's, how Branko Lee handles Wyden be very interesting. So Branko Lee's supposed to be known as a defensive center, but you get some brilliance up against him, he doesn't do too well. Mainly looking at what happened in the grand final with Stephen Crichton.
Similar build for Wyden as well.
Yeah, so Jack Wyden's an elite player. I wouldn't put Branko Lee in that elite category yet, so that'll be a very interesting matchup. And they would know each other pretty well because Branko Lee, you know, debuted for Canberra. And Jack Wyden's Jack Wyden. He debuted for Canberra as well. So they would know each other reasonably well. It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I'm actually I think they'll cancel each other out on that side. Also, I'm more interested to see how Gay Guy and Holmes pair up against the side that New South Wales have been attacking with Gutherson.
That is a scary side. Having Gay Guy and Holmes, they're just going. Usually, they just go to another level.
And then, especially with Allen sweeping to Gay Guy, but I'm looking at them defensively. And New South Wales is going to continue attacking using Gutherson and Adekar when they're up against Gay Guy and Holmes now, as opposed to.
I would go the other way. I'd give White an early ball all day, every day of the week, and he can create something.
Unless they're going to go. Because who was inside? Something. It was Sammy and Capewell. That was the side that was getting targeted. So
that was that Adekar and
Lee's come in for Sammy, technically. No, sorry. Holmes came in for Sammy. Lee came in for Coates. So yeah, it'll be Lee versus Tupou, Holmes versus Adekar. But Branko Lee's come in for Capewell. So it might actually be Branko Lee, Holmes, Gagai Lee.
Either way, the biggest in for Queensland, and I say this is an in because he only played for 2 minutes of the game. He's an in. It's Cam Munster.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, you guys missed him last week. Just his ability to create something out of nothing.
Meters. Defense.
Meters. Well, meters, defense, but just attack. Like, he's a calm head out there that, I imagine when you're playing with him, you look to him when the chips are down and he just does something fucking brilliant. You're like, what the fuck?
I'm not saying he would have stopped Tedesco from scoring like he did inside Hunt, but I sure as hell would have thought that he's not going to be putting his hand up pointing outwards unless he's done his job already.
He will be the biggest difference. I don't know if he can claw back 24 points like it was in the second. It was a 34-10, wasn't it?
I don't think he can claw back 24 points, but I think he can stop it from getting there to start with.
Yeah. So, look, tomorrow night's game with these New South Wales teams hasn't really changed, hasn't changed at all. Queensland's teams had to make force changes and form changes as well.
Mm.
We've analysed it to its death. As a Queensland supporter, do you think you can win?
Do I think we can win? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think you will win?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You're more confident than you were. You're more confident than you were in the first game. That's a step in the right direction. What score are you thinking? You think you can score 26 points?
I think how the back line looks just on one edge, we can score points. With Munster being there, we can create. New South Wales is the better team still, no doubt. They... Did it come to a decider last year? Was it already... No, they were already 2-0.
And they won the last
10 seconds. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it was the year before they were up 2-0 already in Queensland, won the decider. Cleary, Walker haven't closed out games yet. Cleary dominated the last game, but it was already won. It wasn't a game where it had to be closed out. I think it'll be really interesting to see if it's tight late, who's going to close it out for New South Wales. Because Munster's the man for Queensland to be able to do that. So,
And then you casually got Cherry right next to you.
Yeah, but I think Munster's had more big game experience now overall. He's the one who, especially after getting his talking to from Smith in the grand final. Betting man would go on New South Wales. Both teams can obviously win. They're both the elite of their sport. There's more in New South Wales' favour. I don't think their history is going to affect them that much because not a lot of these guys were there for the whole part of it. Very few of them, actually. You're going to say New South Wales can and will. That's obvious.
Unlike
the first game, I'm not going to be surprised either way.
The New South Wales players are coming and going. The crowd's not going to affect me.
No.
That's a load of shit.
Yeah.
They're going to affect you. It depends. If New South Wales get it to a 10-point lead, they'll quieten the crowd down.
Yeah. That'll be it.
They'll shut Queensland. And that'll be it. And that all comes on the back of Haas, Safidi versus Papali and Welch. Young bulls versus the old bulls.
Which is epic. Papali and Welch together dominated.
Yeah, they did. But this is Haas. It's not Paulo. I think Safidi held his hand up. I don't think Paulo did in the first game. Whereas last week, I think Haas, when he came on, I think he made that just tipped at scales.
He started the second game, yeah.
Figuratively, a bit better. So, and Papali's going to come out and rip in tomorrow night. So that'll be interesting. So, look, I'm picking New South Wales 12 plus just because of the quality of teams. But I picked that in the first game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You have to tell me what happens because I'm not going to be able to watch it till about midnight.
Why?
Because it's year 12 grad. I've already talked to the IT guy to sneak me a screen into the outdoor gazebo where the teachers are sitting. So I don't have to look. At least if I have a big screen up on the table, I don't have to look at my phone during the whole night. I'll find a way to watch it. But if not, I'm just going to, I'll probably leave there around 10. It's about an hour-ish drive home. And then I'll have to watch it, 11:30 tomorrow night. I know Tozer will be getting the updates because he's the head of year for year 12 and he's the one who taught Tino and coached him through year 12. So I'm sure he'll be running up to the mic giving updates anyway. So he'll be feeling it worse than I will be. Poor fella. So that's all we got, guys. If you're a Maroon supporter, get out there and cheer the boys on. If you're a New South Wales supporter, do the same for your team. Just don't do it as loud. Good luck to both teams. May the Maroons win. Anything, Jared?
Nah.
You say no New South Wales? Excellent. We'll leave it there and we'll talk to you guys with a review show Friday morning.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
There he is.
All right, see ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.